people got to recognize the name Allison, obviously, with the Alabama gang. And Bobby, well, that was your father-in-law. You were married to Davey. Got to be in the middle of this NASCAR stuff. Tell us about that lifestyle, how that was over those years.
Wow. You know, it's funny because when I first met Bobby and Judy, obviously Davey and I were just dating at the time, and what blew my mind right away was the fact that their lives revolve around racing and had always revolved around racing. You know, Bobby moved from Hollywood, Florida to Alabama, and Neil Bonnet and Red Farmer and Donnie, you know, the Alabama gang going all over the place racing. It was amazing to me that even the family members that weren't in the race car were working around the sport. And I just had never thought that racing was such a big business. And I think that was what took me so off guard. But, you know, just the competition factor of the sport. And then early on, for me, trying to learn the sport, because I really didn't know anything about the sport. I had heard of some of the drivers when I met Davey.
Well, when was it that you and Davey met?
We met in Somerville, South Carolina in 1988.
And he was a driver then, yeah.
He was a driver then. He was the Rookie of the Year in 1987. And Bobby's accident had taken place. So there was a lot of stuff going on in Davey's life right then, and it was a crazy time. And we met there just a chance meeting, and, you know, I certainly would have never thought at that point that would be the man that I would marry. And have two beautiful children with. So it was just one of those freak things. And, you know, it was funny because at the time when I met him, I had heard of Davey Allison and, of course, had heard of Bobby and Richard. But like I mentioned before, I just really didn't know much about the sport. But, you know, when I met him that night, all of my friends were flipping out because there was Davey Allison, and he was with Rusty Wallace and a guy that used to race Rodney Combs and Phil Parsons, who now does a lot of TV stuff. They were all there as well, and they were doing a memorial race, the Tiny Land Memorial. So everybody was flipping out because Davey Allison was there, and he actually came up and started talking to me, and I didn't realize who he was right away because he looked so small in real life compared to what I thought he would look like. So it's kind of funny. And, again, just a chance meeting, and, you know, and here we are 18 years later, and I'm still in this crazy sport.
Yeah, well, he met you, I guess, at the track there, and then y'all hit it off, I assume, and what did he ask you out, or how did that come about?
You know, it is kind of funny because, I mean, we truly, our first meeting probably lasted no more than 10 minutes. I mean, it was like, boom, you know, he was getting ready to get in one of the little cars for a heat race, and he had a jacket and a hat, some stuff that he didn't have any place to put it, and he just jumped up on the back of this truck where I was sitting and started talking to me and then asked if I would hold his hat. And so, you know, of course I would hold his hat. So he went out and ran the heat race and came back to grab his stuff. They had a helicopter waiting for them to fly them back out. So, I mean, it was truly that quick. And as he was leaving, he said, "Thanks for holding my stuff," and just turned around and said, "Can I have your phone number, by the way?" And oddly enough, I gave him my number at work. I don't know why I didn't feel comfortable giving him my number at home. And so he had tried to call over the weekend, and I wasn't working. They were racing in Darlington that weekend. And so he finally got me on, I guess it was the Monday or Tuesday of that next week. And we just started talking, and then he would start calling every couple of days. He would call, and we just struck up this great friendship over the phone, and I didn't see him again until November, and that was in August.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I guess if it's meant to be, it'll be. And you know, I always try to tell girls, don't push it because it'll just happen if it's supposed to happen, you know. But then after that, I saw him in November. And then, you know, I guess God knew we just didn't have a lot of time because everything happened so fast with us. We were blessed with two beautiful children, and we moved from Charlotte to Alabama. And, you know, and his career was just what seemed like it was just in full swing at the time. And you know, and God knew Davey just didn't have a lot of time, and we didn't have a lot of time together, so our lives were kind of at mock speed from the very beginning.
Liz, this is George here. I wanted to ask you a question in your opinion. You know, the racing, the NASCAR and so forth, is seemingly very addictive. In other words, once people get started watching and so forth, what do you attribute that to? I see people who you never suspect would like racing, and they get addicted, and they have to go. And what do you think that thing is that creates that?
You know, I think it's a twofold. I think part of it is the personalities of the drivers. You know, any given Sunday, you have 43 drivers out on the racetrack, which means you have 43 different personalities. And I love the fact that you can go with your family to a racetrack. And I talk about this in the book, too. You can go to the racetrack with your family, and you can have a family of six or eight, and everybody can sport their own driver's T-shirts and such. And, you know, and it's kind of a surge of independence. Everybody gets to pull for their own. Every one of those drivers is so different. There's some that has similar driving styles. And there's some, you know, you could put Kurt Busch and Tony Stewart in the same category sometimes with from a personality standpoint. But they're all very different, and they all have very loyal fan bases. And the other thing that I attribute that to is the fact that I think most of us have a lot of competitor in us. And there's kind of that need for speed, that thrill of speed, and just the fact that these guys get out there and that they put their lives on the line. And I think sometimes we take that too lightly. It's very much like the fighter pilot mentality. You know, these guys really are out there doing something very dangerous, and I think that is very stimulating to a lot of people, that they're the speeds and that it's the danger. And you know, and let's face it, a lot of these guys, especially now, are you know, are good looking guys, younger guys. They've also helped bring in a younger generation fan. So I think you get it from two sides there.
You were the wife of a NASCAR driver, and you've seen this sport grow over the years. And you talked about the dangers. What was that like, having your husband right around the track and seeing, you know, though we've had very limited number of accidents that have been fatalities over the years in the sport, they make it as safe as they can. But what were your conversations like with your husband? Did you support him completely? Did you say it's too dangerous, you got a family? What was that like?
You know, that's a great question, because I actually changed over the years. When I first got into the sport, I was like most young driver's wives that come on. You're excited to be a part of this wonderful world, this wonderful NASCAR world. You know, your husband's going out doing this amazing racing thing every weekend, and you're caught up in the energy and the excitement, and you really don't think about what can happen. I think you're just kind of too young, too naive of what can happen. But as time goes on, and in my case, as accidents continued to happen, Davey had quite a few accidents and had some pretty bad ones in our time together. And every time one of those accidents would happen, you know, that reality comes a little closer to your face. And especially for us in 1992, Davey either won or he wrecked. And he didn't wreck little. He wrecked and was taken to the hospital. And so, you know, after 1992, I was done. My nerves were cooked. And it was very hard for me because at that point, excuse me, the allergies in Nashville are terrible right now. But at that point, I was ready for Davey to basically hang up the helmet. I just felt like that he just had given, you know, too many chances, and he'd used up his nine lives, and that he needed to climb out of the car. He certainly felt a different way. And after his bad accident in June of 1992, when he flipped 11 times and up in Pocono, you know, that was one of the hardest things ever for me. And then, you know, for him to turn around and wanted to race at Talladega to keep the points lead, it just killed me. You know, there he was. He'd yeah. had surgery on his arm. He had a mini cast on his arm, and they had to Velcro his hand to the shift on the car. And you know, this day and time, I don't think NASCAR would ever approve of a driver in that condition getting in a race car. At that time, their standards were maybe not quite as high as they are now from a safety standpoint. But I mean, I just sat there and cried on pit road because I thought, you are crazy, you're insane. You know, but these drivers they're racers at heart. That's all they want to do. They'll do it till they can't do it, you know, another day. I mean, it's just amazing to me. So yeah, I started out loving it, and then towards the end, I ended up hating it.
You were married to Davey Allison, and then the death, which happened off the track back in 1993, definitely before his time. Talk about how difficult that was, and we know it had to be.
You know, I think the hardest thing is that people don't realize when you are a part of NASCAR in the way that you have to be successful, and that's in that your world revolves around it. You breathe, you live, you sleep NASCAR, and it's a lifestyle. It's not a job. And when you have that and you're living in that bubble, and all of a sudden it's taken away, not only are you grieving the loss of the person that you love and the person that you've chosen to spend your life with and have children with, but also your life goes away, your life of how you've known it. You know, all of a sudden, you wake up one morning and your husband's gone, and you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow, and what do you, you know, the racing, everything that you've done for the past 5 years is gone, and it's just, I told somebody early on that I felt like somebody took my life and shredded it up in a million pieces and threw it up in the air and said, here's your life, now go do something with it. And that's basically how you feel. You're just lost. And it takes time and a lot of mistakes. I made some huge mistakes right after Davey died, just because I was young. I was 28 years old. I had a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. And you do the best you can.
Liz Allison.